Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not abide in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it bear good fruit in our lives today. This morning, Jesus introduces himself as the vine. He says this, I am the vine. But key to this introduction is that the listener or the reader or the hearer, today that's you and me, that we're identified here as well. Jesus is the vine, but we are the branches. You know, we're the offshoots that are coming off the branch. We're the twigs. That's who we are. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. There is, and here's a word that I want to use, there is essence here. The vine is essential to the branch, and the branch is essential, not so much for the life of the vine, but for bearing fruit. The vine is the source of life. All of the nutrients, all of the water that flows out to the branches comes from the vine. And then the branch is essential because it is the part of the production of fruit. And if that vine were a grapevine, then grapes would be the fruit. If that vine was a muscadine vine, like I've got growing all around my house, it would be muscadines, and so forth and so on. But the branches bear the fruit. If there is no vine, there is no branch. And if there are no branches, there's no fruit. So there is a close and personal connection that is necessary for the vine and the branch. Close, personal connection. And so it is between us and Jesus, and Jesus and us. He's the one that chose to introduce himself this way. And so let us pay attention to his introduction. It is this same way, this close and personal connection. It's close, it's personal, it's essential, it's relational. It's necessary. Why does Jesus introduce himself as the vine? So in my message, I'll offer two different thoughts that I have about that. It helps me to answer that question by knowing what Jesus is saying, first of all, in chapters 13 and 14. Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room. They're preparing for this last Passover meal that they are going to share together. Now, in chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet as the powerful symbol of a servant and sacrificial leader. That is who Jesus is, a servant and sacrificial leader, laying aside his position as he kneels to wash feet. And later, he would lay down his very life, as we've already sung about today, on the cross. In chapter 14, Jesus teaches about being the way and the truth and the life. He talks about going to another place. He talks about mansions in heaven. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus seems to be indicating that he has got a place that he's going. He says, if I go away, I'm going to come back, but I'm going to the Father. In this same chapter 14, he promises to his disciples an unsurpassed peace, a kind of peace that he will give to them that they cannot acquire anywhere else. It's inexplainable, but it is his to give. Jesus says he's going away and the disciples will not be left as orphans. Now, the thought of being orphaned is not so comforting. And I think Jesus names it when he tells them about not being orphaned, because I think that that was how they were probably beginning to feel. We've devoted our lives to you, Jesus. Peter says this, who else are we going to go to other than you, Jesus? And yet here he's talking about going away and leaving them, maybe they felt like, as orphans. But Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And then he picks up in verse 15 where he says, I am the vine. Not only are you not orphans, but you are so intricately fused with me that as I'm the vine, you are the branches. So no, you're not an orphan. You're a branch that is woven into me. That's a powerful truth. So when we get to chapter 15, Jesus speaks about being the vine and the disciples being the branches. I'm reminded that though Jesus is going away back to the Father, there still remains this close and personal connection with Jesus that is at work. You see, that close and personal relation with Jesus is not just some kind of passive truth. It's active. That kind of close and personal connection and relationship that we have with Jesus means that Jesus is at work in that connection. Now keep in mind the flow, the direction of the flow. From the vine to the branches. I believe that's why Jesus introduces himself that way, as the vine. He wants his disciples, both then and now, today, to know that as the branch is connected to the vine in such an essential way, so we are connected to Jesus. The relationship with Jesus is by design a close, personal, essential kind of relationship. We are not orphaned. We are held close. So why did Jesus name himself as the vine? Because he wanted to show us how close and connected we are to him. The vine and the branches. Jesus and the disciples, Jesus and us. But there's another reason I want to share today of why I think Jesus introduces himself as the vine. I believe he wants to communicate to his disciples that the whole aim of this thing is for the disciples' life to be made fruitful. Hear me, for the disciples' life to be made fruitful. Not to be fruitful, but to be made fruitful. In the life of the church, we call that spiritual growth, or in some places they call it spiritual formation. There is something growing in us. There is something being formed in us. And Jesus is using this comparison to vine and branch and fruit as a way of indicating what the whole aim of this is for. We are not those that get saved and then kick back and wait till we get to heaven. No, there is something else that is the aim of our salvation, and that is our spiritual growth. We are saved not to sit. We are saved to grow and to bear good fruit. We are made fruitful. Now, I can hear you questioning yourself. Am I growing spiritually? Am I a growing disciple? If I'm not growing, I must not be abiding. And if I'm not abiding, then maybe I'm not a disciple in the first place. And we begin to kind of have that inward glance. And we become consumed perhaps with what we are not able to do, or what we have not succeeded at, or how we have not been able to bear good fruit in our lives. And we spiral down, and we can give up on fruitfulness. And abiding is turned into another rung on the ladder of performance, of a performance-based religion. You see, Jesus does not use this comparison of vine to branch to communicate that he wants us to be good religious people. He's indicating to us that he wants a close personal relationship. And the last thing that he's looking for is some performance-based religion. For me, abiding with and in Jesus has much more to do with my being than with my doing. If I can get you to make any adjustment in your thinking this morning, it would be to realize that the vine and the branches are already fused and bound together. Abiding relates to our being more than it does our doing. The branch doesn't work really hard to get itself connected to the vine and then hang on for dear life. The branch doesn't crawl up to the vine and take some grafting tape and wrap itself to the vine. No, the branch grows out of the vine. It is already bound and fused together with the vine. And you, branch, cannot sever that connection. And so it is with Jesus and us. We are not the ones who have to keep working at the abiding. We are in Christ, the vine, connected closely and personally. And the vine is at work in us. Jesus is at work in us. We try to work and we fail and fail and fail. We go back and back and back to the same old things and ways of thinking, ways of behaving. And it seems like that we give up on abiding and we give up on fruitfulness. But we are not the ones who have to keep working at abiding. If we're in Christ, brother and sister, we're there. We are in Christ, the vine, connected closely and personally. And the vine is at work in us, the source of our life, Jesus, the source of our growth, Jesus, the source of our fruitfulness. He is at work in us. It's not us making ourselves fruitful. It's not us evaluating and assessing our spiritual lives as unspiritual because we're unfruitful. We've got it backwards if we see it that way. We are already in Christ, the vine, closely connected, and the vine is at work in us, bringing about fruitfulness in our lives. And that is good news. There's one other character in this story that I want to point out this morning, and that is the gardener. We can't leave the gardener out of the picture. If Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, well, the Heavenly Father is the gardener. And Jesus wants to bring him into the picture. He wants us to know that the gardener is at work. The gardener is at work cleaning the branches, pruning and cutting away what's not been growing so that we can be more fruitful. We are not making ourselves more fruitful. This is not a works-based relationship with Jesus. It is us availing ourselves, making ourselves available to the work of the Heavenly Father in us through the Holy Spirit to cause our lives to become fruitful. In my hands, my life is not fruitful. My life becomes very ordinary and dead-end and predictable. I can easily fall away and walk away. And the last thing that I can bring about in my life is fruitfulness. Anything fruitful in me, spiritually speaking, for the kingdom, is evidence that God's Spirit is in me, at work in me. And He is not just inviting me in introducing Himself as the vine, He is inviting me to abide. The Father is at work in us through His Holy Spirit to form us and develop us into growing, fruitful disciples. You may not feel like your life is growing and fruitful this morning. There may be some dead things that need removing. And you don't need a preacher to point that out. You already know the Father is wanting to get rid of that thing in your life. This morning, give Him opportunity to do His work of cleaning and pruning in your life and in my life. Go to His Word in the Scripture. I was thinking about this the other day. When you want to get healthier, there are basically two things that people always say over and over and over again. It doesn't matter if it's a commercial or if it's a doctor or if it's your mom or your grandmom. If you want to get healthy, you need to do two things. You need to change your diet. You need to exercise. That's it. Now, you could take some medicine. There may be a need for some prescribed meds. And don't put off taking those, okay? But it boils down to diet and exercise. Well, in this same way, if there are some things that need to be pruned out of my life, there are basically two things to do to make myself available to God to work in me. The first is Scripture. Scripture. Go to the Scriptures and be reminded of how God loves you. And be reminded of how you're bound to Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know where to start reading in the Scriptures. Well, I'll give you a great place to start this week. And read it all week long. John 15. And give God the opportunity to remind you of who you are as a branch fused with Jesus the vine. Start reading tomorrow. No, start today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start today. So read Scripture and pray. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Cry out to Him and lay it all out to Him. Let it be as ugly as it needs to be, but be sure you're in your prayer closet. Lay it out to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Bear your soul to Him. And then after you've done that, be quiet. Just be quiet. And then let God speak, as only God speaks, through His Holy Spirit. Down deep into your soul, into your heart, into your mind, cry out to the Lord in prayer. And then be quiet. And let God speak to you. He is the gardener, and He knows how to take care of you like nobody else. He knows how to take care of you better than you know how to take care of you. Because if you're like me, sometimes I'll run off to something over here that I think will take care of me and ease the pain and help me out, give me a better perspective, or dull the pain, whatever. And I really don't know how to help myself. And so when I get to that place, I cry out to the Lord. And then after crying out to the Lord, then I quiet down and I let God speak because He knows the words I need to hear. Maybe we need to do some crying out to Him today. And maybe we need to quiet down and let God speak. Abide in me, Jesus says, and let my words abide in you. We are bound to the Lord. So let us abide in him. Let his words abide in us. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this day and this time, for your word, for the praise that has been lifted up. Lord, help us to abide in you and to know that that abiding really is reflective of what is already there, and that is that we are bound and fused together with you as the vine. And so, Lord, may your life begin to flow into us. Jesus is inviting you and me to abide in him, to remain close, to know that he is holding us close. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. In John 4,